Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer this hour, Mr. Evan Preston. It is Friday, June 16th, 2023, a TGIF edition of the show. We invite you in and appreciate you being here on a Friday across Wisconsin. Coming up at 2:30, great guest Mike Zirkle. Do not want to miss this. Ever wondered what it was like to work with bands like Nirvana, Garbage, other great bands over the years? It all happened here in Wisconsin, specifically Madison, Wisconsin. Mike Zirkle, music producer and engineer, formerly of the renowned Smart Studios here in Madison, will be with us at the bottom of the hour. We'll ask him what it has been like to work and record with some of the coolest names in the music business. Don't want to miss it. Mike Zirkle joining us at the bottom of the hour. It is the first day of the Republican Convention, the state Republican Convention in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Civic Media wanted to be there. We asked to have a table. We applied, and our check was returned. They said they did not want us here. Even though we went to the Democratic Convention in Green Bay, we were happy to be there, wanted to do the same thing in La Crosse this weekend. Our news department has since asked to have news credentials as a media person to sit there and simply report what happens. I have personally invited Brian Schimming, who is the chairman of the state Republican Party. I've known him for 30 years. I've asked him to come on the show, talk about the Republican Party, what it stands for, some of the issues of the day. So far, nobody wants to talk about that. No Republican leadership person, I should say. So we thought it might be nice. Because, you know, we talked about the Democratic Convention. I thought we should talk about the Republican Convention. If they don't want to talk to us, as a former 30-year Republican myself, I know a little something about the conventions up there. As I said last hour, between 1982 and 2009, I may have missed three. Two that I know specifically, I may have missed a third one. Was a card-carrying member of the Republican Party for years, and in 2011... I left the party because I was a witness to a closed-door caucus meeting on the Senate Republican side on voter suppression bills, specifically and intentionally designed to suppress the vote of minorities, black and brown people in Milwaukee, and young people, college campuses across the state. And I simply said, that's a line too far. And I left the party. Asking what you think. Now, here's the thing. Fine, let people go for a little while on the anti-stuff, but what I really want to hear is, what do you think, either as a Republican, what the Republican Party of Wisconsin stands for? What's the positives they stand for? And if you're not a Republican, what do you believe they stand for? And I guess if you can't think of anything, then fine, we'll go the other way. What are they against? But I'd rather hear what people think the Republican Party of Wisconsin is for, as a former card-carrying member of the Wisconsin Republican Party. 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. We go to Mike in Sheboygan. Mike, what say you, sir?
I say, Todd, you are for character. You are for ethics. You are for values. That's why you are the consummate, passionate patriot. You don't have to listen to anybody suggesting you'd be ashamed for having integrity to walk away from those entities that don't have these values. GOP, for me, former Republican voter, by the way, 12 years on the Warsaw Pact border, GOP, greed, oligarchy, patriarchy, screw the environment no matter the cost of the roots, consumer protection be damned, business bucks over common sense. Just count the number of Michael's trucks on I-43, I-94, right. 794, 894, I-41, 45, and ask yourself, when's the last time you saw that overpass, a two-laner now being torn down to do a three-laner, and when the three-laner is being torn down to do a four-laner, and how long it's going to take for the transport trucks and haulage to ruin the right-hand lanes where everybody's back in the left lane? It's just a matter of time, and then the Michael's trucks will be back.
Mike, absolute
rights for the absolute few. Absolute rights for the absolute few. The party of the great put down. Put down anything and all others. Put down dissent and the party of prevent. They conserve nothing. They block anything and everything. They hijack the flag and faith, which is what cost me my my participation. Mm-hmm. And they preach to those with BS, to those who can't think for themselves, including the alphabet man that you had on in the prior hour. Have a nice weekend.
Mike, no, Mike, before I let you go, first of all, I just want to say thank you for your kind words. I really appreciate it. But it's not about me. I think I am representative of a lot of folks across Wisconsin. And I think that's why I'm very careful about not attacking Republican voters per se. I'm more angry and upset about the leadership of the Republican Party. First of all, thank you. And secondly, thank you for your service. Appreciate that to our country. You mentioned specifically why you walked away. Can you explain that to people? Because I'm very interested in that.
Well, it's an alphabet that's not in the GOP's name, and that'd be hypocrisy. But I just could not, and I've got my flag out front. I put it up on Memorial Day.
Good
weekend.
For you.
It's still
I'm glad.
Flag Day.
Yep.
And oddly enough, and I've got lights on it. You know, I'm not going to risk it with the cops at night.
Right.
But for a while there, I just felt like anything with a crucifix or the flag on it just was there, till I realized one day they had just hijacked everything, and the argumentation is always accusatory, it's always negative, it's always dissing somebody, it's never for something. So I think your topic's right on.
We got to run, Mike. Sorry about that. We got to run. I'm up against a break. Mike Sheboygan, thank you very much. We appreciate you, sir. Back after this on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network, this is the Todd Allball Show. We welcome you back in. It is now 15 past the hour of 2 o'clock. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we will welcome in our fine guest this afternoon, Mike Zirkle, producer, music producer, that is, an engineer, formerly of Smart Studios here in Madison, Wisconsin. Find out what it's like to work with bands like Garbage and Nirvana. And all those great things. It was one of the heights of recording in the state of Wisconsin. And so we're going to check in with him and get all kinds of great behind-the-scenes info. There's Mike Zirkle coming up at the bottom of the hour. Finishing up this segment, because, again, the Republican Party of Wisconsin is having their state convention this weekend. And we wanted to be there. We asked to have a table. We said... The Republican Party said to us, no, thank you. We're declining that. They sent back our check. We sent them money. If anything, you'd think Republicans would want money. But they sent back the money.
It was real money, too.
It was real money.
Yeah.
They said, no, thanks. And then subsequently, and I want to be fair, I don't know the status of this, but I know that we had at least reached out in terms of getting news media credentials to be there. And so far, maybe that's different now, but last I heard... going on the air, that had not been approved either. And here's the thing. You know, kind of our slogan, our theme here at this show is pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. But just like we had on Jason Stein yesterday talking about school funding, it's fine to have opinions. I have opinions, right? Callers call in and have opinions.
We all have them.
We all have opinions. But the thing is, I want the discussion to be based around facts. And so I think it's only fair to invite in people that I may disagree with, people from my former party, and say, look, tell us what you're for. What's the message that you want to get out to voters? And as someone who spent 30 years in the Wisconsin Republican Party, I will tell you that they used to have media breakout sessions. In other words, when you go to the state, the floor convention where you get up and offer resolutions, that's only part of it. Then you have these breakout rooms, okay, that delegates go to. And they bring in speakers and whatever, and they help you understand as a local county party person in Richland County or Vilas County or Brown County or wherever. They say, here's how to talk to the media in your neck of the woods. Here's how to write letters to the editor. They try to teach people this. And one of the complaints for years was, well, the media doesn't want to talk to us. You know, it's the left-wing media. They won't listen to us. Here we have a brand new statewide entity in media, civic media, that we have stated that we're simply here to tell the truth. We are not a pro-Democratic Party institution. We are a pro-democracy, small d, institution. Now, there are certainly hosts on this network that have a left-leaning bent.
Of course, yeah.
That's just a voice, right? I am a former Republican. I left the party in 2011. But I'm no member of the Democratic Party. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just I've chosen right now at this point in my life just to be an independent. I'm pro-American flag. I think everybody should fly the American flag. I personally believe in standing up for the Star Spangled Banner when it's played. I have firearms. I believe in hunting. I believe that's a tradition in the state of Wisconsin. Joel Klefisch, former state legislator, assembly person, is a Republican. Has a hunting outdoor show on this network. So you can't say that civic media is some sort of a lefty network. It's not true. Proof's in the pudding. But yet Republicans, and these are people I know. Brian Schimming, I used to have diet. He doesn't drink. It's either Diet Pepsi or Diet Coke he drinks. I've forgotten. Brian Schimming did some of his best work at a bar drinking Coke or Pepsi diet on a napkin. I've seen it happen.
Sure.
And he's not a bad person to have a drink with. He's not a dumb person either. And so having been in those rooms and knowing these people, the only thing that I can surmise that they don't want to talk to the media, or at least people who are going to ask them pointed questions, is because they're ashamed of their current platform. They know that it doesn't connect with people at 50% plus one.
They'll say they're just following the strategy, you know,
right,
in unison, talk in unison. But I think you're onto something there. There's a reason why they cannot do it.
So let's, just for the fun of it, by the way, if you want to call in and offer your thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. What does the Republican Party stand for? The Wisconsin Republican Party, what does it stand for? 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. We'll make it easy for you. 844-96-PARTY. P-A-R-T-Y. All right? Just for the fun of it, I pulled up the original National Republican Party platform, held in Chicago, May 17th, 1860.
Those were the days.
Those were the days.
They were.
I wasn't even around then. Here's what it's called: the Fundamental Principles of the Republican Party, that the maintenance of the principles promulgated in the Declaration of Independence and embodied in the Federal Constitution, quote, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, is essential for the preservation of our Republican large R institutions, and that the Federal Constitution, the rights of the states, and the union of the states must and shall be preserved. That's the original principles of the Republican Party. I can get behind that. I mean, let's give you a quick... I mean, if you read this, the Republican Party principle, the founding platform of the Republican Party, it was very much local control. They really wanted to make sure that states, individual states, were not going to be messed around with by the feds. And now you have people in Washington, D.C., saying they're going to put a national ban on women's health access to a safe and healthy abortion. See, Republicans are all for individual rights until it's not something they want. The current iteration. As one caller said earlier, it's just so much hypocrisy. And also, if you look at what their actual platform is now, which I have the state platform and the national platform, which, by the way, there isn't one. If you look there, it doesn't enumerate these things the way that does. By the way, well, let's go to the phones first, then we'll come back to this. Let's go to the phones. Carol in Madison, thanks for listening to us on WMDX here in Madison. What say you, Carol?
I think the one word for them right now in this state is hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at how they really want to increase the number of people who are employed, and yet by eliminating childcare options, they've just taken all of the women who need to rely on that out of the workforce.
100%, right?
And they want people to stay in Wisconsin, but they don't want us to be educated. They're talking about cutting more money from the University of Wisconsin. And in doing that, other people will consider going to Minnesota and every yeah. other state that they have a compact with. And the third thing that really just speaks volumes to me is you're going to cut diversity, equity, and inclusion, which means that people with disabilities aren't going to have any assistance to get into the employment market.
100%. And isn't it ironic, Carol, in this original platform by the Republican Party, that they talk about anti-slavery, trying to include people, and now the current iteration is they're fighting against diversity.
I know. It spins my head around 360 degrees to try to listen to them right now.
Yours and mine both, Carol. We appreciate you listening to us, though. Thank you so very much, Carol and Madison. Let's go to Middleton, neighborhood community here. Matt in Middleton, thanks for being on the show. What say you, sir?
Hello. I would say they basically stand for whatever their billionaires tell them to stand for, which is typically now just destroy the public sector, don't do anything for the environment, more and more tax breaks for the wealthy. I think they're writing up more tax breaks now, even after Trump's tax breaks. The wealthy can't have enough in their eyes. Don't do anything about clean water, replacing pipes, anything for the general welfare they're against.
Yeah.
And if they say they're not, then they're lying because they're hypocrites.
I appreciate that's worth more than 2 cents, my friend. Thanks for listening to us, Matt. We really appreciate it, Matt Middleton. Mr. Evan, if we have time here, let's play this clip quick. This is from former Speaker of the House, Republican, favorite native son of Wisconsin, Paul Ryan, earlier this week. This is what he had to say about the current state of the Republican Party and Donald Trump.
And this one's national security. This one's different. I used to have these same documents myself as Speaker of the House. So I think this goes.
Whoops, I think that's the wrong one there in terms of that was on the secret documents.
Yeah, this is the one that I featured the other night.
OK,
he sort of goes into it, you know, he talks about.
Right, a little bit, yeah.
But no. I'll find the one that you're referencing, and
fine.
Maybe we'll have time by the end of the show.
No worries. I can kind of summarize it. Basically, what he said was, he is never Trumper again. Will not be at the Republican Party convention in Milwaukee next year if Trump is the nominee. And then he went on to say that if Trump is nominated, Republicans lose, and he's basically sick and tired of all the losing. And then he went to Nate Burleson, co-anchor of CBS Mornings, asked him about all the Ron DeSantis stuff and the Florida stuff and the wokeness, quote unquote. And Paul Ryan said, you know, that's just not me. I'm not into the whole anti-woke stuff. He said it makes for good Republican primary political fodder. You know, great to score points with the political base. But he said, I'm a Jack Kemp acolyte. And that is a name that a lot of people have no idea who it is. A former U.S. congressman, a fiscal conservative, who, again, I'm not saying I agreed with all of Jack Kemp's fiscal policies, but the point is Paul Ryan is a ideas guy in terms of fiscal responsibility and how we get there. Now, how we get there, we may differ on. But Paul Ryan said, I'm just not interested in that. I don't, the wokeness, the cultural, social cultural wars, the anti-LGBTQ stuff, you know, attacking rainbows and Target. Paul Ryan's not for that. He doesn't believe Republicans should run on that. Paul Ryan and I are the same age, roughly. I think I'm a few months older, 53. I've had drinks with Paul Ryan. I'm not going to say I know him.
Sure.
But Paul Ryan is not a terrible, evil individual.
He has charisma.
I may disagree with his policies. I wish he would have been stronger when he was speaker with Trump. But you know what? I'll take what I could get. At least there's one person in this state with credibility, Paul Ryan, who's standing up against Trump and Trumpism. And where is Brian Schimming, the chairman of the Republican Party? Where is Howard Markline? Where's Devin Lemieux? Where's Robin Voss? Because you can't be with both. You can't be with Trump and with Paul Ryan, guys. That's the question you better answer at the state convention this session and this weekend. Back with more after this. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 2:33 on the time and temperature sign. Appreciate y'all listening on a Friday, the 16th of June, 2023. Going to be a good weekend, I think, to get out and do a few things across the state of Wisconsin. And we all, at some time or another, want to put on our favorite tunes, whether that's like me, an old vinyl guy, or perhaps on a digital form as well, or stream something. But a lot of times I think that, growing up in radio, you kind of think about this stuff. But how does our music get from the vocal, the live person, onto, you know, whatever way that we listen to our music? Well, in order for things to happen like that, you have to have a producer and an engineer that makes that all happen. And this half hour, we are joined by Mike Zirkle, music producer and engineer, formerly with the legendary Smart Studios here in Madison, Wisconsin. Mike, thank you so very much for taking the time to join us.
Sure, my pleasure.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, where you grew up, and kind of how you got into this crazy business.
Yeah. I grew up in Milwaukee, and I was in bands as a young kid, and then really got more interested in like doing sound and started working in the Milwaukee like music scene and doing sound regularly at Shank Hall for a while, which was a real popular place at the time.
Sure.
And then at some point I realized, well, I don't really know how to do anything else, and I'm pretty good at this and not doing so good in school right now either. So I found a good school that specialized in like an audio program, and went to that for a while, and then after that tried to get back to the Midwest because the program was down in Florida, and once I went to Florida, I realized I'm not from Florida.
What part of Florida was it in?
It was Orlando.
Oh, really? Okay. I spent about 9 months down in the Naples area during the winter, which was great. And then when the summer came, I'm like, people don't understand unless you've been here in the summer.
Exactly. Yeah, that was weird. Like, I mean, dealing with temperature and weather is one thing, but even in Orlando, like, and the people were just, it was just a different batch.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I think, like, at least at that time, this was early 90s, like I figured out by the time I left Orlando that if you're running from the law, go to Orlando because you can get a job at any one of many restaurants or hotels or wherever. And no one's going to look into your past that much.
Right. Just got to go and escape.
It was a great escape place for people under 30. Yeah.
I tell people Florida is cool anywhere from the coast to 10 miles inland. And once you go past 10 miles inland anywhere in Florida, it's completely different.
I'll buy that. Yeah.
So you ended up back here in Wisconsin. And once you got back to Wisconsin, what kind of led you back into or a continuation with music?
Sure. Yeah. So, after I finished school, I was like, well, okay, I got to find a job now. At least that was the plan. And back then, you didn't really get jobs at recording studios. Mm-hmm. You could beg your way into an unpaid internship.
Sure.
And that was really, that was like the bottom rung of the ladder at the time. Like that was the only really normal way in, unless you're related to somebody, maybe, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I checked out the local, recording studios, which I guess encompassed Wisconsin and Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I went to a few places in Chicago just for interviews. And I did a place in Lake Geneva for an interview.
Oh, cool.
But then once I had the interview set up for Smart, I was like, I mean, it was really, this was just after Butch's prime time, like, Nevermind and Gish had come out within the last 2 years at the time. Like,
so tell it was, if I can interrupt you for a second. Yeah, if I can interrupt for a second. For those who might not know across the state of Wisconsin, because I think it's, in my opinion, it's an undervalued historical place for the state of Wisconsin. Explain what Smart Studios was and is, and who Butch was, and some of the great historic bands that came through there.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because here I was, a Wisconsin kid who went all the way to Florida to be educated. And I didn't really know about Smart at the time.
Uh-huh.
And once I went down there, I was like, oh my gosh, wait, what is this? And where is it? And I didn't know much about it, you know, for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And during the 80s and stuff, there was a studio called Smart Studios in Madison, and they were just a small studio getting bigger, doing a lot of like underground punk rock, like, but doing it well enough that if you were into underground punk rock on either of the coasts, you knew like, oh, well, that's a cool place and it's in Madison, Wisconsin. And that's a novelty in itself, I guess, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it grew and grew and grew. And back then, like, there was a lot of bands like starting to make it or get signed, and they were, and all this money was really, it was being spent, but it was being spent smartly, usually, by trying to get a good producer on a record.
Mm. So Butch was the founder of this, or the owner, the manager? Explain who Butch was.
Sure. Sorry. I'm probably not saying this very well. Butch Vig and Steve Marker were two UW Madison college students who also started a recording studio here in Madison.
Mm-hmm.
And they were also, Butch is in a band called Firetown at the time. Well, I should have written out some notes so I don't screw anything up.
No, you're fine. There will be no quiz at the end of the show for anyone. This is just, you know, reminiscing. But I think the point, I mean, one of the cool, I don't mean to bring politics into this, but I think this is just another example of a UW-Madison or two UW-Madison graduates or alums, you know, changing the course of history. And so often that's the case. If you look at, you know, people who came through Wisconsin, the university system, they have impacted the world.
Yeah, it's a good list, really. Yeah.
Yeah. So Butch starts this thing here in Madison, Wisconsin, and a lot of people came through. They had Nirvana, Smashing Pumpkins, Garbage, L7. I mean, this is just some of the iconic names in the recording industry now.
Yeah, yeah.
And
especially at that time, like early 90s was right when like college rock, young college rock alternative bands were getting signed for huge money, and huge bands were suddenly on MTV
right.
and making huge money, you know, and that was a new thing, really. And
yeah.
He was sort of right there at that time. Yeah. You know?
So did Butch actually hire you? Did you interview with him?
No, okay. No, there. I mean, the Smart crew, the staff was really, maybe a half dozen people or so.
Sure.
But there was a main manager there at the time that really tended to the studio itself, where Butch and Steve had sort of outgrown. And I don't know if they even really liked having that role ever, sure. But they just wanted to focus on music only, you know.
Right.
And not worry about taking care of the place, really.
So you went to work at Smart, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and what are your memories of a couple of the most iconic names or people I guess you enjoyed working with who really impressed you personally?
Oh wow, let's see. Well, aside from Butch and Steve and Duke, those guys were like the family of the studio, but they were gone out on tour all the time, so sure. It was like coming and going of the main family, but then we would have other big projects or small projects coming through randomly. I would say one of my favorites was Mark Linkus from Sparkle Horse.
Okay.
Which was a really great mid-90s band. I don't know, probably beyond that even.
Sure.
And he was just a brilliant, brilliant guy. There were just so many people who came through there who were extremely brilliant people. But he was this really sweet, gentle, nice, brilliant guy. And I was such a big fan of the music before they even showed up that, like, it was so wonderful to hang out with him even just a little bit. And it was, you know, I think that was really more the rule than the exception, was that the great music almost always came with great people, you know.
Sure. You know, I'm old, I'm 53. And so, you know, I remember my dad still has a huge collection of 45s and LPs and vinyl. And then, you know, I've come full circle from that to, you know, I was around as well with 8-track cassette tapes and then, you know, mini cassette and CD and streaming. And now we're back to vinyl. In your time being on one of the people that was actually producing the music, how have you seen the industry change over that entire arc? What are your thoughts and impressions of, you know, has it affected the musicians or the music, or is it just a different way to deliver it to the consumer?
Oh boy. I think there's a couple questions in there. I would say, as far as the medium goes, I think that it's changed, but what are you going to do? You know,
right. Let me ask you this. Do you have a preference? Do you think music sounds better on vinyl or CD or streaming? Do you, like, after you produce it, you're there listening to it live. Do you have when you listen to it on these different formats, do you say, man, that's the one that's pure?
Well, the interesting thing is that vinyl in itself is a really amazing medium.
Yeah.
But not if you go to Goodwill and get a record player for $2 and then have a shitty record.
Right.
And like, that doesn't automatically sound warmer. Like,
right.
So if you're going to, if you're going to subscribe to that logic, you're probably going to be spending a lot of money making sure that, like, and that's not even the case, but you're going to be spending a lot of care.
Right, right.
Making sure that, like, your system is set up well so that you can get the beauty out of that it has, the potential that it has.
Right. I mean, I personally enjoy just, I don't know, maybe it's in my head. Maybe it's the nostalgia because I'm a tactile person, right? And for me, you know, putting an album on a record player, and I mean, what do you think about? Are you familiar with Mike Posner?
Not really.
So yeah, so this guy came out. He's younger and came out a few years ago.
Took a pill in Ibiza.
Yeah, took a pill in Ibiza. And so the first time I heard it was like a remix, you know, it was the dance. I took a pill in Ibiza.
Oh, the original's beautiful.
And then, yeah, I saw it on Jimmy Kimmel. He was on Jimmy Kimmel. And the album was called At Night and Alone. And I'm like, well, I'm alone, as always, and it's night. So I put it on, and it was an epiphany. We'll come back and talk about it more. Stay with us. We're with Mike Zirkle. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock, 10 minutes before Matt Flynn direct comes to you after the news. Do not want to miss it. Always a great program, great information. Matt Flynn direct coming up immediately after our show. Right now, we are happy to be joined on this TGI Friday, the 16th of June, 2023, with our guest, Mike Zirkle, music producer and engineer. Formerly with Smart Studios. Before the break there, Mike, I didn't mean to catch you off guard, but I mean, you know, we all listen to different kinds of music that binds us together, right? So I got this album by Mike Posner, At Night Alone, because Jimmy Kimmel had him on the show here, you know, back in 2015, 2016, something like that. I'm not sure when it first came out. And it was life, I guess in terms of music goes, like, I appreciate good writing. Like, I just love things that are well written. And so I'd only heard the dance mix of this thing. But this is going to sound not so great, but this is on my phone. And this is how this song starts out by Mike Posner. And I just play it because it is so different than the dance remix that somebody else did. And I guess the point of bringing this up to you, Mike, is... are you aware when you're in the studio with a musician and you're the one running the board and you hear the purity that comes out of their voices and the instrumentation, are you ever conscious that, hey, when someone listens to this, it could change their life. It could maybe save their life. It could make them happy. It could make them emotional. Is that something that's going through your mind, or is it just all ones and zeros?
Oh, man. Oh, no, I think that's a great question. And I've asked that question to Butch years and years ago. I think that, you know, when you end up working on a whole lot of projects after a while, there's definitely times that somebody comes in and plays or sings and you just kind of stop and say, all right, well, but I would say two things. I would say this is truly special and I hope it gets a chance.
Right.
Because it can be special and still stay buried. You know,
there's
special artists and music out there that people still haven't really undug. But that was always the question, like, especially when the industry was much more healthy monetarily. Sure. Like, okay, well, this music is really special. Are they going to get the opportunity to spread the word? You know,
is there anybody that comes to mind, one or two of those people, or are you just like, wow, something special here?
Oh, boy. There was a band from Chicago called Cupcakes that was made up of sort of like all-star kids of Chicago music scene in the mid 90s. And the lead singer was just brilliant and a little bit unraveled.
Really?
Then I think after they were in the studio, I think the question was threefold. Maybe was, all right, these guys really are brilliant. The thought was threefold. Yeah. These guys are really pretty great. Will anyone find them? Mm. And will this lead singer implode before anyone does find them?
Yeah. It, sometimes that tragedy and brilliance is a fine line, right?
For sure. Yeah.
Do you think now with the, you know, the new content platforms out there to deliver streaming and whatnot, YouTube, do you think it's more likely that guys or gals like that are going to get discovered and not lost?
Oh boy.
Or is it there's so much content that they get lost in the volume?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I remember as the internet was being launched, how many years ago they were saying, well, this is going to be so great for musicians and everyone's going to be able to, people don't even need record labels anymore. And I don't know how that's worked out for everyone, but
some, but not all, certainly. Just a couple of minutes left, Mike. I so appreciate you taking this time with us today. For those that might be musicians or those who are just like, man, I want to get into the recording industry. I want to work with musicians or in the business. What advice do you have for not just a young person, but any person to break into this business in today's formats?
That's a really tough question. Yeah. I think when I first started at Smart, and it was early 90s, and the industry was really healthy back then. And it was even the 80s was when it was extremely healthy, but it was still pretty healthy in the 90s. And after I took the job there and started to take the temperature of what this place is like and who their client was in general, who their customers were in general, mm-hmm. it seemed as though, rock bands were these baby rock bands. They were often people would call them baby bands.
Yeah.
Once they were signed, they were given like a budget of like $200,000 or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And for a very long time during the 90s, those were a typical project. We might not use all the $200,000, but they might get the $200,000 to buy a van and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But the very last project that was on a label that we did at Smart before we closed the doors was a really cool band. And it was being produced by Chris Walla from Death Cab for Cutie.
Mm-hmm.
And they were given a budget of $6,000.
Wow. Wow.
And I had to also find a place for them to, and they were going to be at the studio. They were coming in from out of town.
Yeah.
I needed to also find a place for them, like a hotel or something wow. in that budget as well. So we ended up, no lie, having them stay at the house of the assistant engineer of the project. engineer, and Chris Walla stayed in the backyard in a tent.
Wow. Yeah. Now that's a change.
That is it was a change. A pretty big change. Yeah.
Mike Zirkle, love having you here. Love to have you come back again. Our time is out for today. I apologize, but music producer, engineer, and also you've helped out with a great band called Super Tanker. And our friend and executive producer, Chris Pauls, is a part of that. Heard him last week here in town at the High Noon Saloon. If you haven't heard of Super Tanker, Google it, download it, buy their music, buy the t-shirt. Totally. I did. Great job on that, by the way, Mike.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Have a great night. Great afternoon, Mike. Have you back soon. Thank you so much for being here.
Cool. Thanks, Seth.
Yep, my pleasure. Of course, thank all of you as well. We appreciate all of you for being here. Thank you to Aaron Zommers for his board game of the week. Mr. Evan Preston, our producer and engineer here in the studio today. Always appreciate Evan. And of course, thank all of you for listening. We didn't do it today. I'm just thankful that you're all out there. Thankful to get through another full week and thankful for the weekend. Who lives like we do? We do. Absolutely. Stay tuned next. Our friend Matt Flynn is on deck. He'll be with you in the 3 o'clock hour. Make it a great weekend across Wisconsin. And whatever you are fighting for, my friends, do not give up.